from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
I okay. need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
Give me the meat.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah!
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh! What if I told you I missed it? I was putting...
Hit me again, Spadoni.
No. Give me the meat. Oh, okay. Shoot. I shouldn't have asked for it. Oh, man. Hey, I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a word. I'm sticking up for my man Goo today.
Not even going to mention the day of the week.
That's Evan Giddings.
No, don't talk about that.
He's in for Goo. Goo was... let me tell you something about Goo yesterday.
I can't catch a break, man.
He played hurt yesterday. Halfway through the show, I'm like, what the... I'm like, Goo, what is going on with Goo? And then I forgot. He came in yesterday. He's like, oh, my stomach's killing me.
I'm out.
And he just got worse and worse. So... get well soon, Guru. Evan Giddings will have your back. So yesterday, we talked a lot about Willie Mays, and we were batting around a ton of things, no pun intended, before the show. And the boss says to me, what hit you yesterday about all the talk about Willie Mays? And I said, Willie, he clearly affected a lot of people, even people that he never knew, and he inspired people that he never knew. And he also said, well, it doesn't feel like anybody has a bad thing to say about him. Or anybody, there's nothing out there about Willie Mays that compromises his integrity. And so we just started batting around names of the greatest athletes and their reputations and how it affects the way people look at them. And so I'll just jump off right here. So Nahegan goes, well, I mean, Willie Mays, he was perfect. Like, he was the perfect superstar. He was one of the greatest players of all time, which is part of the category. And he was perfect. And I said, how about Curry? How about Steph Curry? Like, what do you think of when you think of Steph Curry? He's pretty close to perfect, too, isn't he?
Well, I think that's why it's so hard to believe that there will ever be anybody like Willie Mays, because while Steph, I think, is about as perfect of a superstar as there is and we'll ever see, all we heard yesterday or the day before in his passing was, in addition to all the great things about his character and his impact, is like he was the greatest player ever played. And there's some debate, right? But I think the overwhelming consensus is that Willie Mays is the best to ever lace him up. You know, not to diminish Steph, but I don't think anybody's going to remember Steph Curry's the greatest basketball player to ever play. So that's where I think he's so unique. But to kind of broaden it, like, you're right. The idea of a great athlete being non-controversial is extremely rare. Like, it doesn't happen. And so, while Steph might not be the greatest basketball player ever, I would argue that because of the amount of eyes or camera phones or just overall coverage that he has, Willie Mays played in a much different time of our country that made things difficult.
Right.
But with how much attention Steph Curry gets, you could make the case that it's harder to not be controversial, to not have something... The butt, right? When people write your obituary or when they eulogize you, there's the butt. Well, he was a great player, but.
Right.
He was a great person, but. There's no buts about Steph. There's no buts about Willie Mays. And that is distinctly unique.
Yeah, and just letting everybody in on how this comes about is, you know, it kind of was born to me, this, what we're talking about, out of the Giants. And we all talk about the Giants. They need a star. They need a star. They need a superstar. They need a star. They need a star. And we just started thinking about, okay, well, like, what kind of star would you want? What kind of player would you want? What kind of personality would you want that player to have? And we just started batting stuff around, and that's what we're going to do to start the show. Because the boss was like, okay, well, let's go through some of the great ones. And he said, you know, Joe Montana. What about Joe Montana? Well, you know, why isn't Joe Montana Willie Mays, for example? I mean, I don't mean it that way, but
yeah, he's arguably the greatest in his sport.
What do you think about Willie Mays, Joe Montana? And I said, well, you know, Montana doesn't get that love because I think 49er fans consider him a little bit aloof, and also because he has seemed to distance himself a little more from the 49ers than some of their other players like Rice and Steve Young. And so we're just trying to, we've just been batting around names and how big of an imprint, a positive imprint they've made on a city, on fans, and maybe even on the franchise. And what would you want? I mean, would you want a Steph Curry? Would you want, you know, Barry Bonds? Well, you can't think about Bonds without thinking about PEDs. Okay, what about Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest to ever do it? Well,
self-proclaimed.
Okay, let's just do it this way. What do you think of when you think of Ricky Henderson?
I think of Oakland, California.
Okay.
I think of a hometown kid who got to the major leagues and did some things that we've never seen before. Like, that's where he is, kind of like Steph. Or Steph is kind of like Ricky. He broadened your imagination about a sport. Like, it was impossible to think that someone could steal as many bases as Ricky did for as long as Ricky did. But also to have the power of a leadoff hitter was pretty rare. Someone that hit at the top of the order to hit 25 to 30 home runs a season, that could take you deep, that had a great eye, that was basically a walking, you know, triple every time he got to first base because he would steal second and third. That just never happened before. There were players that stole bases, but there was never a player that had the entire package together. So, who also had the distinct connection to a community that he was from.
Right.
So that's why I think of Ricky, and why is Ricky so great to me, is because Ricky's also still in the community. Ricky also still does things for his hometown. And I think that's one aspect of it. But you touched on Montana, which I think is at the center of everything about, you know, a superstar that you want. I think, obviously, you need to be great. I think you do need to be a champion. You have to have achievement. But you also, in spite of all of that, the game is not about you. Like, when I think of Willie Mays, I don't think about somebody that drew everyone to him. He played. He spoke with his glove, his arm, his bat. Curry, everything does gravitate around him, but he doesn't make it about him. It's about the game. It's about the team. Montana, however, and I think it's because of after he got traded, feeling, spite for the 49ers, and even some of the ways he kind of conducts himself now. It seems right. to be about money. It seems to be about, his brand, the Montana brand. And so I think from that standpoint, it does appear to be a little less selfless than, say, the greatest greats that are able to be selfless. Like Willie Mays, I think what we heard yesterday for 4 hours, he's a pretty selfless guy.
Yes. Yes. And that's kind of at the heart of this. You're listening to Mays, and apparently he had it all. He had it all. He was among the greatest. He had an unbelievably magnetic personality. Kids and adults liked him. Men and women liked him. Black and white liked him. It just feels like he was the total thing. Now, you said Ricky Henderson, and anybody wants to jump in here, 888-957-9570. Okay, when I think of Ricky Henderson, I think I know he's an Oakland guy, but I think he should be bigger than he is in terms of, and I'm not saying he's not loved in Oakland and the Bay Area, but to me, Ricky Henderson's stature as a player is greater than the love that he should get. If you know what I mean. Like, I know he's in Oakland. You can see him out and about. But what held Ricky back? Was it his ego?
What held Ricky back was he would probably say Ricky.
True.
I mean, Ricky was always trying to get his. But that was the era that he played in. It was post-free agency.
Right.
He was one of the biggest superstars. He came about at a time when you could make $1 million, and that just wasn't... Like, Willie Mays couldn't make $1 million in a season. He couldn't.
Right.
He might have been one of the most high-paid players for the time, but I do think that's also part of it, too, and why, to me, someone like Steph Curry is great, is because Steph Curry can command $60 million in a year, which is just unfathomable, I'm sure, to someone like Willie Mays, and yet it doesn't feel like he acts like he is $60 million better than the next person.
True.
He acts like he is just another guy.
You know, I think what also was a factor with, and we're just going to throw some names out here. Ricky Henderson was, and he addressed this in his Hall of Fame speech. You know, Ricky didn't speak well at the start of his career. He wasn't easy to understand. And he had a little bit of a stutter, I believe. And when he was inducted, he made the focus of that. He wanted to give a great speech, and he'd come a long way. But like even something like that is a part of why someone is thought of with more magnitude than others. I mean, the fact that, you know, Ricky Henderson might have been more difficult to understand early in his career. We couldn't get to know him as well. And then what we found out, or what we think about him now, Ricky loved himself some Ricky. Okay, great. We threw Tim Lincecum out there. Why was Tim Lincecum as big as he was? He's like, seriously, okay, he had long hair. But I'm not saying he shouldn't have been as big. I'm saying why? What was it about Lincecum?
Because he was the freak. He was a freak. Seriously. But, like, there was nobody like him. Like that's I think what captures our attention.
What part of him was that? What part of it couldn't you replicate?
The fact that he was like 5'9" and threw 98 miles an hour. There just aren't guys that do that. Like
isn't that Pedro Martinez kind
of? And how do people think about Pedro?
Okay,
like people love Pedro. I mean, Pedro is one of the greats. So, but I think that's part of it is. Like, to have such ability inside of that frame, I think it's also one of the reasons why Curry's so popular. Is because he kind of looks like an everyday guy when he's on the court among giants. You know, Tim Lincecum is small, and yet he is able to dominate people that are far larger than him, and people that we just, inherently believe are better. But Tim Lincecum was always, it's funny because I don't think there's much that's controversial about him. Yeah, he enjoyed a joint every once in a while. Posted pictures about how many In-N-Out burgers he could eat, which was impressive. But, you know, he never did anything bad. Like, he never got into trouble. He never even drew much attention to himself. He just spoke with his fastball.
I mean, see, I think the weed thing had a lot to do with Lincecum and his, you know, the reason he was kind of the elevated superstar of that group. Like,
okay. Because also he was the best.
True. Okay.
For a time.
Okay, look at a guy like Buster Posey. Would you want to... Was Buster Posey he was a great player. Was he a great face of the franchise? Well, you would say, oh my God, yeah. He's a family man, and he never did... Yeah, but he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't... He wasn't a rah-rah guy. He didn't...
What, do you think Curry says much?
Curry is far more outgoing. Curry plays the game better than Posey played the game, I think. And I'm talking about the game off the field. Like, Curry knows what he's got to do outside of the game. And I don't think Posey was as interested in that as Steph. Like, Steph's got stuff outside of the game that are important to him that he spends time on. Whatever, you know, does all that stuff in Oakland. But Posey's just, he kept to himself. And is there anybody out there that really believes that Buster Posey, you know, was a dynamic type of stuff? Like, Buster Posey left stuff on the table with the fans because of his personality. He just did.
I would disagree.
Really? You would?
Yeah. I don't think he left stuff on the table. I think he was himself. I think he was genuine.
He absolutely was himself. There's no doubt about it. But himself, because he was himself, there was less of a connection to the fans. Like, Willie Mays made a connection with the fans because of his personality, his play, da-da-da-da-da. Well, Posey's a great... I'm not comparing him to Mays, but Posey's a great... But guess what? He's not that interesting.
No, but I do think that's an interesting comparison because I don't remember Willie Mays saying anything off the field very controversial. In fact, he was just positive. Like, you could make a case Willie Mays was pretty boring. That's one of the reasons why people loved him. It's because he was just happy. Like, he was just a good person. And then on the field, that's where you saw who he was. Like, but that's where you saw the flair and electricity from everything we heard about yesterday. Willie Mays was able to bring pizzazz to a game that was kind of bland.
Well, see, I think another part of it is Willie Mays' personality. Like, in his day-to-day life, he was accessible, and he let the common person in, and he embraced the common person. Posey didn't. Posey's a great guy, but the connection an athlete makes with the city, I think, is half on the field and half off. Or, and maybe it's not the percentage exactly, but when I look at a guy like Buster Posey, you know what? If he would have had a more dynamic personality, he'd be thought of more popularly out here. Hell, maybe he'd be thought of as more of a surefire Hall of Famer throughout the league, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with the sport. Like, baseball's not expressive as a game. I think, like, Tim Lincecum at the peak of his powers, yes, is more beloved in that, you know, the 2008 to 2010 years than Buster Posey. Like, I still remember where I was watching him pitch game one. Like, his postseason debut was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. Tim Lincecum threw a 1-0 shutout, struck out 14 against the Atlanta Braves. He was unbelievable. But over the course of time, Buster Posey is more Mr. Giant than Tim Lincecum is. Like, he's more presidential. He's more of a representative.
No doubt.
And
right,
that's where I think his value lies. It's not that I don't look at Buster Posey as leaving anything on the table. I just think that's Buster Posey.
Oh, yeah, and I think...
Like, if anything, if he tried to force it, it might have backfired on him.
No, what I'm saying, some people have the natural personality that will allow them to reach a level like Willie Mays, and there are others that don't, and they don't really want to. And, you know, we're trying to construct, in a way, the perfect superstar, because that's what it felt like Willie Mays was. Like, perfect. Like, if you could put a Willie Mays on your team in any sport, you would take him. And so, what kind of player do you want the Giants' next superstar to be? You want him to be charismatic. You want him to be like Lincecum. Like, that's what I mean. People would, if I said to Giants fans, your next superstar is going to be either like Tim Lincecum or Buster Posey. They're taking Lincecum, right?
Posey's got 3 World Series rings, though. Well, it depends on what you value. Like, if I want to be entertained, yeah, I'm going to go watch Tim Lincecum. But if I want to win, if I want stability, if I want, professionalism, I'm going to go with Buster Posey.
What about if you're a fan? Like you're a fan of the team. You still would want Posey?
I liked watching Buster Posey play.
Sure, we all liked it, but we didn't love it like Lincecum.
Dude, you couldn't get him out.
Who?
Buster Posey. Buster Posey is one of the greatest hitting catchers of all time.
No doubt, but it's about charisma, isn't it? It's about making a connection. Like, to me, Steve Young has now made more of a connection with the Bay Area sports fans than Montana. Like, Young has overtaken Montana. 510 says, Posey's like Mike Trout. And I would say, exactly. I'm not I'm almost assuming greatness on the field, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, it's not about who would you rather have, Lincecum at his peak or Posey. It's like, come on, we'd want Lincecum, right?
Well, if I'm paying to watch one game.
No, I'm talking about you're talking about watching a guy's career.
Watching a guy's career?
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking Posey's career.
I know, because Posey's a better player, but if they were kind of the same, if they're both the face of your franchise, I think most fans would opt for the guy who's charismatic, maybe even a little controversial, maybe a little edgier. Like, why did Iverson make such a connection in Philly?
I think because he represented Philadelphia. Like, people identified with him.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just think that's how you get to the next level. And Posey, did he do it? Probably not. You know, Ricky, did he do it? Probably not. Bonds, no. Montana, great player. Image off that.
Well, like, to your point, someone like Pablo Sandoval might have been more beloved than Posey at times, because he was just more fun. Like, but he wasn't nearly as good as Posey.
No, I know. And if I told you that you could have Buster Posey or another catcher named Buster Posey, but he's got Pablo Sandoval's personality. That's all I'm saying is you'd want Pablo Sandoval's personality, right?
Yeah, I mean, you want something that is more than just the game, but what I'm saying is that, if you can give me a decade long of dominance.
Okay, I got you. All right, yeah.
And to also represent your franchise, like, I'm going to be honest, one of the reasons why Curry is a great face of the Warriors and always has been is because he never gets into trouble. Like, he never does anything that compromises both his own brand, but also the brand of the Golden State Warriors. And I think he understands that better than a lot of people.
Okay, then let me pose this to you. Well, why doesn't, like, LeBron stays out of trouble, LeBron James? I mean, he's been married forever. He's got kids. He's never in trouble. But people don't love him like they love Curry. Or do they? Do you think they do?
Well, part of it is he might be faithful to his wife, but he hasn't been faithful to one basketball team for his entire career.
Okay.
I think part of it is LeBron also crowning himself the chosen one when he was like 20 years old. Putting it on his back as a tattoo. Like, there's a lot of me about LeBron. Like, yes, you're right. He's never been arrested. He's never been in trouble. He's never been unfaithful to his wife. He, by all accounts, it seems like a good dad. He's trying to help his kid get somewhere that he might not deserve. But that's also the job of a parent. Like,
right.
To further your kid's. Like, he's a good person, I think. But LeBron makes it about LeBron. At least that's what I get from him.
Right.
Curry. It, everyone else makes it about Steph. Steph doesn't make it about himself. That's where the difference lies between him and LeBron to me.
Yeah, and another guy I've kind of thought of, and I know he's been on multiple teams, but it's about... I've just gotten to think about, man, if you were in the town where Willie Mays played, think about it'd be unbelievable. It would be unbelievable. And now, the player I'm going to name is not on the same level, but he's a hell of a player. How'd you like to be a fan of a team with James Harden as the best player on the team? It's like, there's no connection there. You know what I'm saying? All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're just batting some stuff around here. What do you want in your face of the franchise? Will there ever be another Willie Mays? Is it even possible in this day and age? Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. I am scared of Willard. It's okay to acknowledge things. I'm scared of Willard.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. No snickering, please. My man is sick. Plain and simple.
It's bothering me!
And it just happens to be a Thursday. So stop! Stop!
Payday for Goo.
Oh, no!
So, Willie Mays has a lot of us thinking about what we want in a superstar and face of a franchise and what separated Willie Mays from your run-of-the-mill, if you will, superstar, and why did Willie Mays make such a connection with fans in New York and fans in San Francisco? Of course, it was because he was a great player. But and I'm going to get to Paulie in a sec, but I'd love people to weigh in here at 888-957-9570. Okay, I'm going to throw this player out. Give me an answer for this. And I'm not saying he was. I'm not saying these guys aren't Willie Mays. But I'm looking at some guys who I think made a connection. Maybe some guys who didn't make a connection, and I'm asking the question, why and what do you want? And this may be before your time. But it shouldn't be. Why did Warrior fans have such a connection to Monte Ellis? Monte Ellis.
Before my time, that was my favorite player growing up.
Okay, perfect.
I love Monte.
Perfect. Why?
Because when I was in seventh grade, because when I was in middle school, he was exciting, and he was like, I don't know. He did things on the court.
Hold on, you just said I don't know, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
Well, yeah, obviously we're trying to define it, but dude, Monte was box office for the Warriors. Dude, like the Warriors stunk. I mean, it wasn't like I was there to watch them win 60 games or 73. I was there to watch. I was there to be entertained. Monte Ellis was walking entertainment because. Well, I'm gonna be honest. He had the ha-ha.
But
he got buckets.
But he was, and I don't mean this negative, he was awful off the court. Not as a person, but just as an interview. He was unbelievably shy when he first got here. He was drafted as a 17-year-old. So
the Mississippi Bullet.
Yeah. And so he was uncomfortable doing interviews. He did not like it. He was a little insecure. He was self-conscious. He was younger than everybody else. So he was pretty quiet. I mean, over the course of time, he opened up a little bit. But to me, a guy like Monte Ellis, it stopped once he left the court. Like, was there anything extra with Monte Ellis that pushed him into a category that other players didn't have, if you know what I mean? I'm just throwing out some questions. 888-957-9570. Willie Mays got me thinking about, what kind of face of a franchise do you want? What kind of superstar do you want? We all want a superstar, but if you could get any superstar, who would it be? Let's go to Paulie. Paulie's in San Francisco. What's up, man?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Doing a great job. And for Guru, hope you feel better. We'll see you on Monday, I hope. You know, I'm turning 50 next week, and, you know, there's always one player still stuck in my head that even his own teammates were fans of his, even his opponents were fans of his, beloved by the world, made more money in endorsements than Michael Jordan did during his heyday. For that one set of years. The only unfortunate thing, and I think you guys know who I'm talking about, was his career was short-lived, and that's Bo Jackson. I mean, if you think about it, you showed up. When I was a kid growing up, and he was playing for the Royals, and I'm a diehard Raider fan, I'm a diehard A's fan, I was more of a Raider fan, and I would go to those games and sit in the bleachers. And I remember one time I went to the game and the Royals, and Danny Tartable was starting for him, and I was so mad. And he came out, though, Bo Jackson, knowing he's a lot of Raider fans in that stadium, he went to batting practice. He came out there. I mean, this guy, come on, you guys. Let's talk about Bo Jackson. I know it was a short-lived career, but who else? I mean, what was his flaw?
Well, okay. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate the call.
Well, I think it's hip, but...
Well, I think it's... First of all, Bo Jackson had a stuttering problem when he got into the... professional sports. Like, again, it took him a while to make a connection with the fan with the fans. I'll tell you what, here's the other thing I'm thinking about Bo Jackson, and I get it, and Jim Barnett says your greatest strength's your greatest weakness. Can you really be, you know, the guy if you're playing two sports, if you know what I mean?
But I think that's what people loved about Bo Jackson.
No doubt.
Like, he made you reconsider what was possible for an athlete. And I think that's at the center of all of these people that we're talking about, is they make you reconsider what's possible for their sport. Steph made everyone reconsider what a weapon the three-point shot could be. You know, Willie Mays made you reconsider, from what it sounded like and what I've read, how you were able to bring flair to a game. You know, I mean, it just, all of these guys make you reconsider what's possible. And I think there's, you know, the Bo Jackson thing's interesting, because the short-lived career, it always makes you wonder. And then you start to hear tales about players. Like, there's something mythical about Bo Jackson. There's something mythical also about Willie Mays, because there's not a lot of footage about him. So it's almost like the legend grows more and more as they get older, because I don't know if it's the whole tale about the fish. You know, you got it, and it was a couple inches, and then by the time you're in your 90s, the fish is, you know, a trout. It's 150 pounds, but like, the fish just always keeps getting bigger.
What fish?
You know, when you catch a fish every year, the fish gets bigger when you tell the story, right?
Oh. Like a fish story.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when you talk about your 81, you know, you'll eventually start to put more flair on it. There'll be more, gotcha, more drops as you get older, because you're going to remember that, right?
Yeah, we can get into my golf game. No, I'm just kidding. Here's my point. I'm going to name you this, and it's not really a point. It's just my opinion. So I'm going to name you two players, and I just want you to assume. I don't want you to take in to say, oh, well, this guy's a little bit better, or that guy's a little bit better.
I'll try not to be literal.
Correct. These are two greats of the game. Which one would you really want to be the face of the franchise? Would you want Magic Johnson or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Magic.
How come?
He's Magic. I mean...
Because he's more exciting? More charismatic?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Exactly. And so Willie Mays had that. Like, Joe Montana didn't.
There's also, I mean...
Like, Bird didn't really even have that. Bird didn't have it.
But you like Bird more than you like Magic.
Well, that was more a regional thing. I love them both now. But as a kid, yeah, I mean...
How come? I mean, Magic was charismatic.
I liked the Celtics. That was the biggest reason. I started liking the Celtics because of Bird.
But Bird is boring.
He was. Not as a player, though.
That's what I'm saying, though. I don't think Willie Mays was like...
Who was Willie Mays like, if we could possibly... Is there anybody today?
I don't know. Probably not. Because this is the thing, too. Like, Willie was... I think one of the reasons that as big as he was in San Francisco is because he was also big in New York. Like, there are very few athletes that are able to own both coasts and that are legends in both places. Because generally when you leave, they kind of, you know, they throw you away. You're someone else's now. But because Mays was entrenched in Harlem, where the Polo Grounds was, like, he was a man of the people. I don't know if you could really do that now. I don't know if you could go outside and play stickball in the streets with kids. I don't even know if you could go outside and go down to your local shop and just have a cup of coffee without being absolutely swarmed or people pulling their camera phones out. Like, all of that stuff was a product of the time, but Willie Mays was the greatest to possibly ever play, but he also was, I think, seen by most as a man of the people.
Yeah, I mean, if I gave, just hypothetically, because I love hypotheticals, if I gave you your choice, okay, you can have it. You could have had any of the five following faces of a franchise: Jordan, LeBron, Magic, Bird, Curry.
If I could, repeat that.
I'm going to give you the number one pick for your face of the franchise. Is it Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, LeBron James, or Steph Curry?
Well, I'm biased. Steph.
I would take, and this is what I mean.
To me, it's between him and Magic.
I think I'd agree with you. I think I totally agree with you. I'd probably take Magic just because he was a little edgier. But again, Magic had the HIV. Like, we found something out about Magic that we didn't, you know.
Well, Magic
that wasn't flattering.
Magic had a vice.
He did have a vice. I think everybody's got a vice. What's Curry's?
We'll find out.
I do believe everybody's got a vice / dark side.
Oh, turnovers. just kidding. That was a rib. Sorry. No, but I think it's interesting. Like, you think about Magic versus Curry, and I think partially because all the things that I've seen written and made about Magic, they highlight the good.
Right.
They don't really talk much about the bad. But I mean, I don't know, like the first image that popped into my mind with Magic Johnson was just his smile.
Right, exactly.
Like, his smile is magnetic.
What about Jordan? Real quick.
Jordan?
Yeah.
Oh, I think of him in the air.
Okay.
Like, that's, yeah, I think of the Jordan logo.
See, I think of over-the-top competitiveness. Just over-the-top. Not necessarily even, I don't mean it as a bad thing, but in my mind, I do think, you know, sometimes you can do that. But that's what Jordan was, and that's why a lot of people loved him. No doubt about it. Scott's in Hayward. What's up, Scott? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, really enjoying the convo. This is a fun morning for you guys. I want to say Willie Mays, I think, is unparalleled. You guys were looking for a comp, but Willie really embraced the entertainment value. He was a showman. I read that he wore his hat one size too big, so when he'd run the bases, it would fly off in dramatic fashion. He would actually make dramatic catches even more so by going into an unnecessary slide. I mean, this is one of the greatest defensive players of all time, and he was so good, he would make plays look harder than they actually were just to entertain the fans. I can't think of another athlete that does anything like that. I mean, you've got great dunks in basketball, you've got some showmanship, but nothing like what Willie Mays reportedly was. I think he was truly one of a kind. I think he's the greatest to ever strap him on. Keep the show going, gentlemen. Love it.
I love that word, unparalleled, because he might just be right. Here's another guy that popped into my head. Chris Mullin. What pops in you? Chris Mullin. I would put him on the upper tier of connection with the fans, or let's just say fan favorite, if you know what I mean. And he was a hell of a player.
Oh, I'm a little too young, but I'd probably think of Run TMC. Like, I think about him as a part of a group, not an individual.
He was, I think by his own admission, he was not a leader, or more of a leader by example. He didn't, like, he would talk to the press, but he wasn't overly exciting when he talked to the press. But, like, what was the connection that Mullin made with the Bay Area? And, again, we're just throwing names around about what you want in your superstar.
But I do think, okay, so, for example, like, yeah. the Rick Wood Field game tonight.
Yes.
Willie Mays, to the caller's point, did bring a flair and an excitement to the game that bridged confidence and cocky. But he was always more confident because he could back it up. Like, it's not cockiness if you can do it. You kill him with kindness. You do it with a smile. You do it with, I don't know, just a machismo that's, like, very individual. All of that did start at Rickwood Field because that was a natural part of the game in the Negro Leagues. It was not just about the substance. It was about the entertainment value. And so Willie Mays was able to bring that to the major leagues. And unfortunately, around the time of his leaving was also around the time the Negro Leagues folded. But that's also why, like, the game tonight to me is relatively meaningless. But everything around the game, everything about Rickwood Field, everything about the reason that they're playing, the Giants and the Cardinals are at 4:15 on Fox, because it's essentially the Willie Mays Classic. Like, that is the birth of everything that we're talking about in regards to Willie Mays the person, because that's where he was born and that's where his game was founded.
Yeah. For example, Nahegian was asking us, he was just running down the players or great players, and he said, "What do you think of when you think of this guy?" And so let's it all starts with Willie Mays because he is obviously or apparently the gold standard for everything an athlete should be, how loved he was. Okay, so, you know, like he said, Chris Mullin. You know, why is he? And I said, well, I think a lot of people with Chris Mullin, it was when he went into alcohol rehab his rookie year, came back, and has been a success story ever since. Like that, you got to have a story that people can really relate to also, I think. That's a monster part of it. Like when Mullin came out of rehab and became the player he became easier to want to support, I think, as opposed to if that had never happened.
Yeah, but I think that there are athletes that are relatable without having to go through, you know, like traumatic experiences.
No. I get that. What I'm saying is,
like, Curry's led a pretty trauma-free life from what we know.
But yeah, what I'm saying is, if Chris Mullin is loved right now at 90, like he's a 9 on a scale of 10. He's 9 out of 10. If he would have never gone in to rehab, and either it never would have gotten published, it never got publicized, or he just played his career and didn't drink. Like, that's one of the reasons that he isn't a 7.5. That kind of thing pushes him to 9. Those are the kind of things that I'm trying to pinpoint in a way.
Yeah, well, you know Chris Mullin a lot better than I do. I'm gonna be honest, like, Chris Mullin doesn't really cross my mind. You know, I don't feel connected to Chris Mullin.
All right, Barry
but
Bonds.
It's also because I'm from a different generation. I don't feel connected to Bonds because he never let us in, and he was always deflective. Like, I think that's where, you know, we were talking about Ricky Henderson earlier. Ricky Henderson, I think, is a more, I don't know, affable person than Barry Bonds is, but he didn't really let people in. Now, he wasn't as, at least from everything I've read about Bonds, like, Bonds he literally had his own part of the clubhouse. Like, the guy, it was the San Francisco Giants, and then it was Barry Bonds.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I don't think of Bonds the greatest hitter that I've ever seen in my life, and I will take that guy 11 times out of 10 on any team that I'm building. But if you're talking about representatives in, you know, faces of franchises, Barry Bonds is the face, or was the face of the Giants. Sometimes it felt like for the wrong reasons.
Gotcha. Here's another one I'm throwing out. By the way, 888-957-9570 is the number. Willie Mays has us thinking about athletes who make an indescribable or an incredible impression with the fans. He was an icon. How do you get to be an icon? We were just throwing all these. Here's another name that Will Clark. Like, where does Will Clark fit? I mean, the Bay Area loved Will Clark. Why? How come? Like, that's what I want to...
I think because he was a tough SOB.
I think you're right. Like, some of these questions I'm asking, I think we know the answers to, but I kind of want to get into it a little bit.
But I don't think you have to be that kind of person. I don't think you have to be the tough SOB or the expressive person or the hard ass or the red ass. I don't think you have to be that to be a fan favorite.
No, but I think the reason it worked for Will Clark was because it was, you know, it's who he was. He was unbelievably competitive. He was an RA. You know, he was a red ass. And
it, still is.
Yeah, and it... You know, to me, I always found it interesting that in an area like San Francisco that's supposedly liberal and progressive, you know, Will Clark was kind of a throwback. And, you know, it was pretty conservative. But nobody really cared.
Well, but also back in the day, there were blue-collar parts about the city. You know, I don't think that's really the case now. And not to say that there aren't blue-collar people that still live in San Francisco, but I don't think that that is what it's, known for. Like, yeah, I mean... I wasn't around San Francisco in the 80s, but it felt like more of a people's place than it is now. You know, like, all right, if there is an athlete to represent the Bay Area right now, not named Steph Curry, who is it? Like, when people around the country look at the Bay Area and say, that's the athlete. That's the athlete to represent the Bay. Like, what does that even look like now? I mean, is it? Probably it's Christian McCaffrey.
Well, here's what I would say. Like when we start talking about, well, who could be the next guy? Who's got? There's two guys I thought of. Like the one guy who I think would have a chance to just blow up like a Curry, believe it or not, is Brock Purdy. Like I think if Brock Purdy is the quarterback of the next 49ers Super Bowl team. He's going to be now. He's only been here a couple years. We don't really know him. He seems like he's a goody two shoes. You ever heard of that term?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's an old one. But you know what I mean? So if Purdy blows up, he's probably going to be more like Steph Curry than Allen Iverson, if you know what I mean. And like here's what I'm saying. I think on balance, if I told you if you could close your eyes and go with my imagination for a minute. Curry and Allen Iverson are the exact same player. When you measure them, they're equal. I think most people would rather have Iverson be the face of their franchise. If all things were equal on the playing field.
Maybe in Philly. I don't know about in the Bay Area, though.
I don't know either. That's why I'm fascinated by this discussion. You know what I mean? Like, here's the other guy I was thinking about.
I would push back on Purdy, though.
How come?
Dude, he's boring.
Well, but how he's going to get less boring.
He's a good player, and I hope he has a lot of success.
But so is Curry. Curry's boring, kind of, isn't he?
But Curry is not afraid, and I don't think he's ever been afraid to kind of put himself out there. Like, he knows he's boring. Like, he knows he's, you know, he kind of has lame tendencies, but he's not afraid to put himself out there. He's also not afraid to potentially be the butt of a joke.
Sure.
He's not afraid to let people in. Like, I don't know a thing about Brock Purdy except he loves Christ. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, what do we know about
this
guy?
But that's my point. If he's going to be here for 10 years, we're going to learn a lot about him. But now you might be sitting here saying, you know what, we probably won't really learn a lot about him because that's who he's going to end up being. And here's another guy that fascinates me right now. Fascinates me because I think of this guy as, wow, this guy's got a blank slate. Like, because everybody comes in with a blank slate. Everybody. Like Macklin Celebrini. We know nothing about this kid.
Hasn't been drafted yet.
Who's going to be a San Jose Shark. Apparently, he may be, you know, he's a phenom. But we don't know anything about him. So, we're going to find out who he is and what he is. And I get hockey's not quite basketball or football out here. But he's got a chance to if he's as good as everybody says he is, or if he's better than everybody says he is, like then he has a chance to get to a level that a guy with his ability wouldn't get to unless he has something special. And I actually think one of the things he's got, believe it or not, is a great name. Macklin Celebrini, like even that kind of thing sometimes I think works for a guy. Anyway, 888-957-9570. I see a couple people want to jump in here. We're just talking about faces of franchises and reputations and why was Willie Mays on a level that no other athlete seems to have gotten to. And how do you get to that level if it's even possible? 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was also sponsored by Safeway.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.